One of the topics we talk about more often than not on this program is the concept of regional infrastructure and regional immigration. Now, there is talk from the federal government that immigrants are going to be encouraged to move out to regional areas to basically ease congestion in the cities, but also we know that there are regional areas out there screaming for bigger populations. But I guess it's the chicken and the egg thing. We often talk about the fact that we need to put infrastructure in place first, but is that really the case? If we build it, will they come, or should we move them there and then build the infrastructure to suit? One expert thinks that regional immigration does require regional infrastructure. Her name's Katrina McDiarmid, and she's from EcoProperty and joins us now. Go, Katrina, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Look, I am in two minds about this. I think there are probably some towns out there, some regional areas that could use an influx of new residents, and let's leave immigration out of it for a moment. It doesn't necessarily have to be immigrants, but people out of the cities now. But what sort of infrastructure do you believe we need to put in place before we can make that effective?
Well, I guess what with our work, we work on environmental properties all around Australia, and what we find is that young people now who are wanting to go, you know, to out to the country areas these days, anyone under 35, almost the first question they ask us is about the internet. And that's because either one of them or both, or as part of their farming or, you know, the work that they want to do or hope to get, almost completely revolves around the internet in some way. So that's like their number one question. So, look, it is coming, but I guess Australia has been really, really slow when you look at compare us to somewhere like Korea that's had, you know, fast internet for decades. So, look, that's their number one question because
that's
so much a part of their life.
Katrina, is that a fair comparison, though? We often say that this country's got this and this country's got that. But none of these countries have the vast distances that Australia has to deal with.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. And I suppose where we find it frustrating is that, you know, all this talk about decongestion or immigration or whatever, whereas, you know, the rural people, young people want to go there. I call them the next generation. They're sort of our children, and they're very much the... It's almost like we skipped the generation, actually. The kids now are very much like all the children of the ones that all did it in the 60s and the 70s and even into the 80s. So they're the ones who kind of woken up to the city and the corporate life and go, hey, you know, there must be more to life. And they really would love to go to a lot of these areas, but they just, as I said, that's one of the first questions. And then, of course, public transport. But, yeah, look, you know, we all have to face the fact that Australia is like a gigantic country. It's only when you know, people leave the city and you realise, you know, you start driving out there, especially if you've done a lot of travelling in other countries, you realise, you know, it is an amazingly vast place. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, so I guess the reality is, given that vastness and the tyranny of distance, is that we can't give all things to all people and we can't give all things to all areas. How do you believe government should go about strategically prioritising what infrastructure goes where?
Yeah. And I really think it comes down to looking at local communities. What are the industries that they already have? You know, do they have abattoirs there? Do they have like brilliant farms and horticulture outfits, you know, where they need people? You know, what are the opportunities in these places that's needed, and so that it's sort of matched up? I'm very against this sort of blanket approach, you know, let's get X number of people to go to regional, you know, areas. I mean, somewhere like Orange in New South Wales, you know, probably one of the best places to move to in Australia, never mind New South Wales, it's only increased 2,000 people in the last 5 years. You know, you're not talking about, you know, masses of people. But in terms of local economies and really giving them a push along, if you try and match up what's already existing there, because that means that one, you know, when it's a young family, one of them can be the farm worker or work in the abattoir or be the nurse or whatever, but the other one's got to do something. And so if they want to have some sort of web-based business, you know, which is amazing what you can do now on the internet around your skills and expertise, your professional life. So that's what needs to be matched up, I think, to say, hey, let's get people to go there. And as you said in the beginning, it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to immigration. It's tied to getting people to go, you know, to go there. Because one thing I say is, you know, I grew up in the country myself, and we always had cousins come to the country, you know, from the city to the country and learn about the country. But a lot of people now, they be lucky if they go over the Great Divide.
that's an interesting point. And, you know, once upon a time that most people in the city sort of understood what was going on out in the bush, you know, where our food came from and the like, but that seems to be a level of knowledge that doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately.
Well, I think with the, you know, with the people that have come in the last 50 years, you know, they don't have that connection anymore to the country like most, you know, in the previous sort of 50-100 years before that. So, yeah, I mean, I remember our cousins coming and being shocked that milk actually came in a, didn't come in a jug on the table. It didn't come in a carton or a bottle.
Indeed.
You know, so, but you know, we've gone even further than that, where there is that sort of disconnect. But the reality is, there's a lot of, you know, there's young people who would want to go, and you know, you can buy, you know, really cheap housing, and if like five families all say, hey, let's all go, go there. But you know, what are we going to do when we get there? So they need less. They don't need like $120,000 or $150,000 jobs. You know, they're happy to have way, way less. But, you know, I think it's more their entrepreneurial spirit. They want to do stuff. They want to go out there and you know, have amazing farms, and particularly young kids now who are looking at, you know, value adding into farms, which, you know, rather than just the basic produce, they're really looking at, you know, what can they do. We're working on an organic farm in South Australia at the moment, and they produce, you know, fabulous apple juice and, you know, other products. And then you could just, you know, add in anything on top of that apple and do other drying. And, you know, then like, okay, well, we're not just going to sell to the local markets. Let's start look into exporting and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, they're really happy to take their skills and their interests to these places. But, you know, you've got to have some sort of basic support there to, yeah, push them along.
Raises very many questions. Katrina, good to speak to you this evening.
Yeah, not a worry. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's Katrina McDiarmid from Eco Property. Well, look, a couple of questions I want to ask you. Firstly, in your town, your area, what is the big infrastructure need? What do you need for government to build in your particular region? Secondly, do you still have relatives from the city that come and visit you on a regular basis and get their head around what it's like to be part of regional and rural Australia like we are? Give me a call. 132710 is the number.